Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me, and I'd like to share a few thoughts with you this afternoon that I hope will be a help to getting us all to heaven, just a little tiny bit of that help. I was thinking about some scriptures over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're all pretty familiar with that, and I want to thank you all for allowing me to be here today. I trust through your prayers that the Lord will give us something good for our souls. In Hebrews 11 and 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And I want to stop here and think about what this just said about these people. These are what we call, I mean, this is what is referred to Hebrews 11 as the heroes of faith. And we see the different ones mentioned here. And verse 34 says, "Out of weakness were made strong." Do you know that I don't think any of these folks mentioned here were just superheroes in themselves. Yes. They brought what they had, and they allowed God to have what they had. Amen. And He took that, and He put it into His little system, or whatever He does with it, and He brought something out that was really a blessing, wasn't it? Yes. Now, you look at the different ones, and David is mentioned. And, you know, when Samuel came to anoint David king, where was he? Wasn't he out herding sheep? And his mind was far, far from the Lord using his life. But after Samuel went through all of his brothers, he said, "Well, do you have another son?" "Well, yeah, we've got this young one out here herding sheep." But do you know that David, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David's life. And out of weakness, the Lord made strength. And I just want us to think about this thought as we will start talking about different things here. But, you know, I put out of question mark on the board because I want to think about more than just weakness. But you know, when we come to the Lord and He sees us and we give Him what we have. Yes. That's all we have. And these here, the scripture says, out of weakness, they were made strong. And they did mighty acts. And I look at each one of them, and we're not going to go over all of them very, very finely, but I think about Samson and David, and left to themselves, I think David would have been out there on the hill with the rest of those men, wondering what they were going to do with this giant. But David was a faithful man, and God took what little bit David had, and He made a hero out of him. Now, it wasn't David that was the hero. God was the hero, and He worked in David's life. But I want us to think this afternoon about what we have on hand. And we'll look at some other scriptures and what we can give to God and what He wants to do with that. I thought about the process of metamorphosis. Now, we're all familiar with that, aren't we? School kids, I think you know about that, don't you? What is the first stage of a butterfly? The first stage, just an egg. And then it changes, doesn't it? And it becomes a larva or a caterpillar. And what is about the, for a, what's that monarch butterfly? For a monarch butterfly starts out about the size of a pinhead. But it changes and it begins to eat and eat and eat and it turns into a larva and it can grow a couple inches long. And maybe be a couple hundred times the size that it started. You know, that's all God's work, isn't it? Yes. And so he did that. It's given to him. And so he does what he will with it. And then it changes to a pupa, in a cocoon. And then it changes to a butterfly. And how can all of that happen? I don't understand. But I know there's something inside all of that that makes it happen, doesn't it?
Yes.
And God takes that and makes something very different out of it. And so this afternoon, I would like for us to just think about our lives and the things that we have in our life and not to allow ourselves to think of us as we are, but to put that factor in there that is from God. Because when God puts that factor in there, he takes whatever we give him, and out of that, he makes something totally different many times. He takes our sins. And you know what he does with those? He takes them and he put them in his blood and he cleans them. And he washes them white. He washes us white as snow, doesn't he? And he changes us completely. And he wants to reason with us about those kind of things. He takes us and he takes our troubles and he takes our afflictions and he takes our needs and we bring them to him. And you know, he has the capacity to easily take what we give him and make something else out of it completely. Because he adds something to it. And so I don't want to lightly use the word God factor. But you know what? He wants to take a factor that we don't know about. We don't understand it, but we know one thing. We can bring what we have as we are to the Lord. Where we are at, our life and the situation it is at, and when God mixes his grace into it, and when he mixes his whatever it is that he does, it comes out something totally different, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just like the monarch butterfly, it don't look anything like the egg, does it? It's nothing like the size of the egg. There's nothing that you would not even consider such being. How could it be related? But God took it.
Yes.
And this afternoon, I just want us to think about that. I don't know what you have on hand today. I don't know the troubles you have on hand. I don't know the weakness that you have on hand or the affliction that you have on hand. But I know one thing. I know that our God, when we give that to him and he does what he does, he changes it completely, doesn't he? I think about the little process, and some of you have heard maybe me speak of that. But I think about the process that happens when we take our garbage, our refuse,
yes,
and we put it in a mulch pile or a pile, and we give it to God, we give it to him, to his process. And what's he do with it? He takes that stuff that if we kept it to ourselves and we bagged it up and we put it in our own thing, it would stink. It would be filthy. It would breed all kinds of things. But when it's given to God, he can work with it. And he changes it from that and makes some of the best fertilizer there is. And so this whole concept today, I just want us to think about our lives today and quit seeing ourselves, if I can say it that way so boldly. Don't see ourselves as what we see. See ourselves as a part of what God wants to do.
Yes.
Lord, the one thing I need to do is get myself completely submitted to you. And you know, when we do that, He'll take all that stuff. He'll take our weakness and our hurts. He'll take our sicknesses. How many of us here have seen the Lord do that? We have over and over, have we not? And He'll take that and He adds His grace to it, and out comes something totally different. I remember a time when I still have now I do. I have some difficulty sleeping at times. But you know, I remember a time that I had sleep apnea. And I just, all the time I was waking up gasping for air all through the night. This went on and on for a long time. But do you know, one night during a Wednesday night service, the Lord impressed me to go be prayed for, and the Lord took that from me, and in its place, I just slept like a baby. That's been like 15 years ago. Now, I'm not going to say that I haven't had a few little elements of it here or there, but you know what? The Lord healed me of that, and He healed me completely, and I thank the Lord for that. And we've seen a lot of things like that. And so this afternoon, as we look at some things, I just want us to think of our life and where we're at, and then add that factor in there that God has, and let Him add that factor. And don't stop short of adding that factor, because it can be completely life-changing. It can look like the difference between a larva and a butterfly. That's what it can look like if we hold on to it ourselves. So we bring our weakness to the Lord. And here this verse says, out of weakness we're made strong.
Yes.
And, you know, we see that, folks, because we're weak, the Lord wants us to bring our weakness. In fact, I think His strength is made perfect in our weakness. But He doesn't want us to continue forever to be weak. Now, David was this little boy. I don't know how old he was, but he was old enough to be out tending sheep and all of that. But you know what? When he gave himself to the Lord made out of him what He would. And so let's think about that a little bit this afternoon. In Judges, the 6th chapter, I want to look at one of those men, Gideon. Do you remember Gideon? Judges 6 and 12, it says here, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Wow. Gideon, I don't think he thought of himself as a mighty man of valor. I'm not sure anybody else did. But that's what the Lord saw. Did the Lord see him through His grace? What was he thinking? Thou mighty man of valor. You know, go on to the 13th verse through 16. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord don't look at things like we do, does He? I hope the Lord will minister to our hearts today and help us to see us, to see our situations in this kind of light. You know, I'm not sure that Gideon thought of himself in any way as a mighty man. It don't sound like it for sure. But in verse 25 and through 27, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God, unto the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. What did the Lord ask him to do? To cut down their idols, the very thing they worshipped, and destroy the whole thing and burn the wood and all of that. And you know what Gideon did? I can't do this by day, but I'll do it by night. I can get it pulled off. And you know what? Gideon was just simply obedient to the Lord. And this afternoon, the Lord's not looking for any big bodies. The Lord's not looking for any big somebodies. He's looking for obedient people that give themselves to the Lord and that give their things to the Lord, that gives their weakness and their troubles and their successes and all of those things. And we give them to the Lord. And then He works with all of that and He begins to do something. And so we know this story of Gideon, don't we? He was simply obedient. And he was weak. And he didn't feel like, well, who am I? I don't feel any strength here. But you know what? He gave that to the Lord. And out of those materials, the Lord made a leader that won a great victory. And then I believe he went on to judge Israel, did he not, for many years after that. And so we find what the Lord was looking for was just somebody that was obedient to Him. Somebody that would give Him what they had. You know, then the Midianites, let's drop on down to 6 and 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east that were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And we all know the story of the fleece and how Gideon put that out. But you know, I just look at these ones that's in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we don't find great men. We find obedient men. We find people that God could work through. And so Gideon didn't look at that and say, yeah, we can take them on, Lord. Come go with us. He didn't look at it that way, did he? But he knew that he needed God's help, and he knew God could help him. And this afternoon, I just want to encourage us that we allow that kind of help from the Lord. And so we find the Lord working with Gideon and that fleece. And you know, the Lord encouraged him in those things. The Lord encouraged him. I want to ask you, who are you today? Are you that mighty man that has all kinds of confidence? And probably not too many of us here like that, is there? But maybe you're that person that really needs the Lord. Lord, I've got this battle out here, and will you go with me? Lord, if you'll help me, I know it'll be okay, but Lord, will you turn this fleece wet, or will you keep it dry? Help me out, Lord. And you know, the Lord looked upon Gideon, and he did help him out. And then, even after that, you see how God wanted all the glory, didn't he? And so here he came, and he was going to take all these people with him to battle. But no, it's too many. It's too many. They'll think they got the victory themselves. I want all the glory. Folks, the Lord wants to work in our situations. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to work in our troubles, and He wants all the glory. He doesn't want us to come up and say, you know, I've just got amazing faith. I've just got amazing whatever. No, folks, Gideon came up pleading with God. Lord, I need your help. I know you can help me, but I really need your help. And you know, the Lord did. In Judges 7 and 10, I'll read the kind of the conclusion of that story. But starting at 7 and 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. I want to tell you, Gideon knew this battle was way, way over his head. And he knew the 300 men that he had, this is going to take a big God for this. But you know what? It says, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man, and he snuck up and he listened in on this tent, and he heard him saying, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. That's about what it was like, wasn't it? 300 fellows with just coming in with lanterns and trumpets and it was about like a cake of barley bread. And this man said, I dreamed, and this is what I saw. And came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men. Here his army. He divided them, 300 men, into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets on also on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And we know that story, how the Lord wrought a great victory for Israel that day. Yes, and don't you know their faith was encouraged?
Yes.
I think it had to be. Do you know that that's what it will be like in our life too?
Yes.
If we will allow the Lord the place he wants to be in our life. If we will not deny him that place. If we will not run when he says, I want you to fight that 150,000 men or whatever it is. I want you to take this on and I'm going to give you 300 men. I want you to, if we won't run from the battle, well, I can't. Can you see what's going to happen to me? Yeah, I can. But I'm not going to deny the God factor in that. And so tonight, this afternoon, folks, this is just a little simple message, I know. But let's let God put his thing into our life. Let's do one thing. Give ourselves to him. Our weakness, our whatever we have, give it to him.
Yes.
And give it to him. And seek him for our life. And I'm going to tell you, you will see, I believe every one of us will see more than we ever dreamed we would see in our life. I can hardly believe the things that I have seen with my own eyes, folks, that the Lord has done. And I believe he does it for everybody that serves him with all their heart. So this afternoon, I just want to encourage us that we, like, what shall I say more? The scripture said, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Time would fail. I could go on and on. You know, we could do that, couldn't we? But time would fail. And so this afternoon we have to stay with just a few little things, a few little incidents, a few little examples. But you know, you remember old Samson? You remember when he come along and God came upon Samson? The Spirit of God came upon Samson and he met a lion and you know, he just ran him as he would a kid, it says, as a baby goat. And that was the way, because the Lord had come on him. You know, the Lord wants to come on our lives today. And I believe he wants to come on our lives more than we realize he wants to. But you notice what God called for first in Gideon's experience. The first thing he called for was the hardest thing, really. You go out there in your father's house and you tear that idol down and you burn it. And you destroy that. And you offer that oxen up for a sacrifice. You know, when he obeyed God in the small things, the same thing happened with David. You go out there and keep your sheep, your father's sheep, David. I got a job for you to do. And you know what? David was faithful to keep the sheep. And when God needed somebody to do something, he didn't need God. He didn't need some other God. He just needed somebody faithful. And that's what he was looking for. Somebody that would be there when the lion was going to pounce. Yes. And the bear was going to take. Somebody that was going to stand in that place. And he needed somebody like that. And you know, Samson come along. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And that happened, and so many things happened like that. Samson turned from his faithfulness and brought real reproach upon the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, I'll try not to wear you out too bad, folks. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is Paul's experience, and he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." There was given to me the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat on me. There was given that to me. The Lord gave. The Lord. That don't sound right. Paul, I got to keep you humble. I got to keep you where I can use you. And can we take the little things that come our way and not be bitter about them?
Yes.
Or shall we be faithful in the midst of the flame? For this thing, let's see, given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And listen to Paul's response. Instead of complaint, instead of why, instead of even hearing that, listen to what Paul says. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions." Every one of those things we shy from, folks. And Paul, when he got the vision, he said, "I take pleasure in them. Send them, Lord. Send me everything I need. Send me those distresses. Send me those things that make me feel weak. Send me those things that make me fear." Why? Because he wants to get us down to a place where God can put the God factor in there and really begin to work in our life and put his grace and build our lives in ways that he could never do any other way. It's the way of the Lord. And so Paul said, "For when I am weak, then am I strong."
Yes.
And he fully recognized that. And so he wrapped his arms around it and took it to him. I want to read a song that we sing, number 490A. And I want you to listen to these words, please. Out.
Yes. Now, I want to keep in mind these words here.
Out of my bondage,
yes,
sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom. Now see, it's like that metamorphosis. It don't stop there. He doesn't plan on us forever being weak. He plans to add that factor of grace that only God can add. And we become strong in the power of the Lord then. Strong in faith, believing in the Lord. And so he says, out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus I come. Jesus I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself. Jesus, I come to thee. I just want to encourage us this afternoon to bring those things to the Lord. Don't hold on to them. Don't despise them. Just give them to God. Lord, here I am. Here is my weakness. You're going to have to help me however you see fit. And I'm going to trust you no matter what you do. And you know, when we come to that, I want to tell you, I believe you'll see things that only God can do. And it's not always physical. Sometimes it's that spiritual transforming that God does in the middle of all those kind of things that isn't done any other way.
Right.
Verse 2 says, out of, now this is what we're given to the Lord, out of my shameful failure and loss. Do you know that sometimes failures is the greatest blessing we've ever had? Now, I know you don't have to amen that. I understand, because I believe in holiness. Believe me. But I want to tell you something. Peter learned the greatest lessons of life when he learned that he had to wholly and completely depend on the Lord. When the Lord said, Peter, can you come and pray with me? Watch and pray, Peter. He didn't tell Peter. Well, he did kind of, but Peter didn't fully understand. You don't know what's right around the corner. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Well, Peter didn't. He went to sleep. And he had a hard time. But I will tell you something. I believe Peter learned from that. I believe Peter realized, I need God. That's the one thing I need. I need the Lord. I need His grace. I need His power. I know that I had good intentions. I know I told the Lord that I'd go with Him if no one else did and all that, and I failed Him. But you know what? Peter learned from that. Now, we don't want to fail, and we don't have to fail. But I will tell you this. If you fail, bring it to the Lord. Because you may. You may just learn some of the greatest lessons you've ever learned from that. I don't advocate failure. I don't like to talk a lot about failure because I believe the Lord has something better than that. But I will say this, we'll all disappoint ourselves sometimes. You will. Sometimes we just wish we would have done better. We'd have been a little wiser than we were. And you know what? We learn from those things. I made a mistake. I made one of the mistakes that I'll never forget about 2 weeks ago or a week ago or so. And I don't often make those kind of mistakes. It wasn't anything like sin. But I will tell you this. The Lord gave me a whooping that it has changed my life. It really It's made some real changes fundamentally in me. You know what, folks? Sometimes we need a little of that. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus I come. Jesus I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus I come to thee.
Yes.
Out of earth's sorrows, that's what we bring to him. Out of that, out of our sorrows, he puts his thing in there. Into thy balm. Out of life's storms and into thy calm. Out of distress to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will, to abide. Jesus, I come to thee out of myself to dwell in thy love. You know, our self is a hard thing to give up sometimes. It is, isn't it? And the script and the song here says, out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair into raptures above. Upward on I, for wings like a dove. Jesus, I come to thee. And the last verse goes like this. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb. You know, there's people that live every day in fear. In fear of what if the Lord comes back. Do you know the Lord wants us to give that to Him? Amen. Lord, I've got this fear. Out of weakness we're made strong. And Lord, I need you to mix your grace with that. I need you to help me here. And the Lord wants to give us a rejoicing heart waiting for that day. Lord, when is my day going to be here? One day I get to see your face in peace.
Yes.
The Lord wants to change us. That's quite a transformation, isn't it, that the Lord wants to make. Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come to thee. And so I just think about that, folks. Let's let the Lord have our lives.
Amen.
Thought about Jeremiah. You know, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he told him, he said, before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Was Jeremiah being honest there? They say he was 14. He was, wasn't he? I'm just a child, Lord. I can't speak to the nations. He was telling the truth. But listen to what the Lord said to him. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. You know what? If the Lord wants to use our weakness, then let him do it.
Yes.
Don't say no to the Lord. If the Lord wants to use who we are in our weakness, who can say, yeah, I'll be a prophet to the nations. I'll go talk to those kings. I'll say what they need to hear. They can throw me in the dungeon if they want. No, we don't look at it that way, do we? But you know what? The Lord said, I'll put my words in your mouth.
Yes,
and you know, the Lord, all through Jeremiah, you see the Lord coming upon him and the word of the Lord coming to him and him giving it out. Folks, the Lord needs what you have.
Yes.
He needs what you have. He needs your sorrow because he wants to put his grace in there and give you the most healing balm you've ever had. And you'll have, and then you can truly testify of the Lord. And the Lord needs your weak person. But you don't understand. I was always shy. I really do understand that. I will tell you, I understand that language. But you know what? The Lord, He takes that and He puts His Spirit upon it.
Yes.
And He comes upon you and things change. And so I want to encourage us today to never, never say no to the Lord. Never put your arms around, this is my sorrow. This is my troubles. They're just mine. You just don't know how big my troubles are. Come on. Let's let it go.
Yeah.
Let's let the Lord have it.
Yeah.
Lord, I believe that you can take whatever I have and you can put your grace with it and you can make something really good out of that.
Yeah.
Because he knows just what needs to be mixed with it in his grace. Does he not?
Yes.
Sure he does. Oh, let's let him mix in our life. Let's let him mix his grace with our need.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, God will bring glory to his name if we'll let him do that. Y'all pray for me.